Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
There's so many things that we as Christians, brothers and sisters, that we teach, we believe, we speak about. And so oftentimes we get into a mind, some sort of a thought pattern. And if other people aren't in that mind with us, then the thing is our thinking would seem to be a little bit possibly off or a little bit different or maybe uncomprehendable. If I was going to use an illustration this morning as something as simplistic as mathematics, the thing is if I had a child in a school and that their academic level was in, say, multiplication, in mathematics, and they were in this mind of it and they were learning to think in the mind and in the solutions of this academic level of arithmetic. And they're thinking in this, but then all of a sudden they're introduced to algebra into this other realm, and see, their thinking has got to transform. Is that correct? It's going to have to change. They're going to change in the way they're reading, the way they're looking, the way they're observing. They're going to change the formulations because the formulations are totally different. You see, when you go from simple arithmetic to multiplication, the formulas change. 4 and 4 in arithmetic is 8. When you come into multiplication, 4 and 4 is 16. So you see, it's simply taking the same two things. There is a little change of the symbol in between them that gives you the understanding of that. When you go on over into algebra and things, they put some things down. I used to think, well, how does a C or an A equal anything? How do you multiply an A? And we see in a regular arithmetic, you weren't taught how to multiply or divide an A or a B or a C or an X. But see, I'm not in that mind. So when we think of the mind of Christ, there's a mind, and we've got to find out that when we're thinking, if I'm thinking of solutions for numerical understanding of mathematics, I got to be thinking in what dimension I'm in. Is that correct? I got to think, well, I'm doing this in arithmetic, or I'm doing this in mathematics, or whatever. I've got to think in a different mind to come up with the solution for each one. Now, when we come over to what we say, the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of man, the mind of the devil. See, these are three different kinds of minds. And when we think in these minds, they're going to have different solutions, different problems. And they're going to think absolutely differently. Now, I know you've been indoctrinated very well in mind, and what mind to be in, how to think. We got to learn that we cannot think. You say, well, if a person isn't thinking, or if a person goes out of their mind, in this realm that we live in, you say, well, this person's out of their mind. They just babble, they lay in a bed, he's a vegetable, he's out of his mind, he has no mind, so there's no life, is that correct? But then yet, I'm sitting here telling you that you need to come out of your mind, and you need to be in another mind. So the thing is, how do I change this thing? Wouldn't it be nice if they put a zipper on the back of your head and we can unzip that thing and take that old mind of man out there and just plug this thing in there and all of a sudden, hey, there he is. But then you'd be a robot. The Lord's capable of doing that. He could take you, stand you outside this front door on your head, and you could scream all day long, 24 hours a day for 7 days a week for 365 days a year, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You would never have to eat, never have to drink. You can hang there upside down. The blood's never going to go to your head. Your eyeballs are never going to bleed. And this is the capability of God. You think that's what he wants? See, the Lord's not going to purchase you in a perspective of buy you into serving him. A lot of times ministers make the mistake, they want to paint this big purty bed of roses, so to speak. Well, this is what Christianity's all about. Everything's going to be perfect. Boy, if you just get saved, man, I'll tell you what, all your problems are gone and over. I'm being careful how I speak here, because there's some truth in that. But you find the disciples being beaten, beheaded, cutting their head off, boiled in oil, alive. Oh yeah, boy, this kingdom of God is great, isn't it, man? And they were rejoicing while they were going through those things, because they knew that they were found worthy to be martyred for the namesake of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, they surely were thinking in a different mind. Somebody starts dropping me down and burning oil. If I'm not in that mind of Christ, I know exactly what kind of mind I'm going to be in. You see, I'm talking as a man now. That's the way a man's mind is. Man, you ain't going to do this, man. I'll fight you every bit. Man, we're going to struggle. We're going to fight, man. You ain't going to do this to me. Kick, drag, fight. But then yet we read stories and articles like in the Book of Martyrs and things that women were taken and they begged them, said, please let me put my finest dress on before you burn me alive on this stake for the namesake of the Lord Jesus. And people that would go before with rejoicing in their heart to be put to death. You see, that's a different mind than the mind of man. You think the mind of man, even Peter, before he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and they come to him and say, this is one of his followers right here. They had the Lord in there before the Sanhedrin and stuff, and they're getting ready to judge him, and this guy's one of them right here, and he started cursing God. You know, he started using foul language. They said, well, he must not be one of his because his don't talk like that. And they let him go. I guess we were mistaken. We just thought he was one of theirs. That's what's going on in this world today. There's people that are going around saying, I'm a Christian. And people watch their expressions, the things that they do. And all of a sudden they say, oh, I thought he was a Christian. He must not. Just let him go on. You see, there's something when you're a Christian, there's a different mind in you. When you're born again, there's a different mind in you. When you are full of the Holy Ghost, there's a different way of thinking within you. And this mind is the mind of God, and it thinks different, it talks different, it walks different, it sees different, it hears different. Now, this sounds complicated, I know, because you've been trained all of your life to train this mind, to train it to think, to train it to do whatever. You take care of it, you cater to it, and you do what it wants to do. I understand that. I'm a man. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. I know that we're not looking for a way of suffering. In this mind of man, it wants to do everything in its ability and its power to stay away from suffering. But the mind of God says, equip yourself and be ready to suffer. And the suffering is just for a moment. It's grievance, yes, for the moment. But it's talking about what kind of fruits and what kind of things it yields forth. Let's start out this morning by going over to Philippians, the second chapter. And we're going to use that for a base. We've already speaking about it here this morning, talking about the mind of Christ. But let's go over to Philippians 2. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I know this could stand to be disputed, this statement I'm going to make. But I could say that this is the most important scripture in all of the Bible. One would dispute that. They say, oh no, the Bible says, you know, that if you would believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, enough shall be saved. That would be more important. Don't be foolish enough here and make this as a statement. You know, well, this is what this preacher believes. I could say, I wouldn't want to take any of the scriptures and discount them or say one's really greater than another because it's all part of life. When I'm shoving cheesecake down my throat, I could say, man, this is the greatest food ever. Man, there ain't anything better than this. This is the greatest, man. I really like this. You know, a steady diet of that wouldn't be enough, would it? I would fall shy, wouldn't I? I would go weak. I would be losing some sort of nutrition. This scripture right here has all nutrition for everything that sustains life in every facet and every matter of life, natural, physical, and spiritual life. Just in this, we can come to that kind of a mind and that kind of a revelation, that kind of an understanding, because that mind perceives all things. That mind knows all things. That mind do all things. That mind is absolutely the key to life. You say, so you're saying that we're saved by that mind. We're saved by the mind that brought that image to the cross of Calvary and had it smitten and crucified. That mind carried that man right through the Garden of Gethsemane when he was knowing that they were coming to pursue him to put him to death. That mind walked down carrying a cross. That mind was the one that was enduring the suffering and the hardships. That mind, brothers and sisters, is what we see manifested. Do you see when you see a kind act of somebody doing something, there was a mind that motivated him in doing so. You understand if you take your mind out of that skull of yours, there's no life there. Do you understand that? When we think of mind, so many times we come to this little mush thing up there between your ears and you got a brain. You say, well, that's the mind. That is an organ there that is utilized for these spiritual things of word. The Bible said, my word is spirit and life. And this is where these things come and make a connection to you as a tangible person to bring a spirit into a spoken word or thought that you could calculate it and analyze it and make a decision in your life of the direction of things that you're going to go. And when we think of a mind, there's different minds. There's many minds, but we could bring it in one dimension into the perspective of there's the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of man, and then we could take the mind of the devil. Now we have these three minds trying to work in our head. Now we can make it that simplistic, but then yet we could come into the dimension of man and we could talk about all the different minds. The Bible, when it says that you're double-minded and unstable in all of your ways, what is it saying? There's another mind there. So if we talk about one that's double-minded, can you be multiple-minded? Depending on how we differentiate this and we look at it. You see, I could be over here maybe and I got a hat on that says, hey, I'm a carpenter. So I'm in a carpenter's mind. You know, a carpenter thinks differently than an electrician does. Is that true? Come on now. The electrician doesn't pull the skill saw out when he's running his wires and start cutting wires with it. Nor does the carpenter usually would have a voltmeter checking his lumber. You see, it's two different minds. They think differently and they've got a different operation. So we could start thinking about minds. A pilot thinks different than a doctor. A doctor thinks different, you know, than a mechanic. But if you get around doctors and they're talking about things, unless you're in that mind, you wouldn't perceive at all what they're talking about. What is that thing again? If you was a mechanic and heard mechanics talk, what is that? I have no idea what it is. They just said, my car don't run from this. Go get one. So you go down and hand it to a guy who knows what he's talking about. That's an EGR valve. You see, he's in another mind. He knew what this thing was. There's many ways to identify minds. So is it simply coming to a state of the way we think? Most definitely. It comes to that kind of a state of mind. I know, again, it would be questioned about this mind when I say this is probably one of the greatest things in the scriptures, in the word. Because this mind will absolutely bring everything alive in this word. If you think I'm sitting here talking about a mental capacity of some kind of a retention or some kind of a head knowledge or some kind of an intellectual way, it's more than that. You come one with it. It becomes part of your makeup and fabric and everything about you. You understand that? When you get into this mind, you think differently. When you're being trained, now the Bible talks about the transformation of our mind. You see, this is a conscious effort on your part. You see, when you're thinking of something being transformed, you see, the ministers of Satan, the Bible says, they transform their minds into a mind of light. So there's a transformation, it's an action on your part. And we're commanded to transform our minds. Most of us here, and I know there's some children here, but most of us here know how to drive a car. Now the thing is there's a time that you've been driving long enough that there's times that you're not making a conscious effort of even thinking of what you're doing. When you come up and you see cars or stoplights in front of you and the cars are stopping, the traffic stop, you're thinking, oh my, what do I got to do? Oh, I got to take my right foot off the gas pedal. I got to move it over here to the brake pedal. And I got to apply force on this brake pedal to stop this car. But you see, all that stuff isn't happening there because you become one, so to speak, with this vehicle. And you don't even think that way. It's an automatic reaction. Now see, but there was a time of being trained. There was a time that your mind had to be transforming. Now, is there anything like this in the mind of Christ? You see, once you've transformed your mind into that mind, you're going to find yourself operating in that mind, in that will of God, in the way of God, the things that please God. But there's going to be a time that it's going to be a constant transformation or an effort on your part. I've used this as an example before when you're learning to fly an airplane and you're climbing out. The guy's watching the turn and bank. He's watching these ball and the needle. And he's saying, wait a minute, man, you need a little right rudder. So the instructor's sitting there saying, hey, talking to the student, hey, you need a little more rudder. Hey, you need a little bit back pressure. Hey, you need to do this. And he's trying to get you to have a coordinated turn. And then pretty soon, after you start transforming your thinking, it becomes automatic. You don't even think about it. It's like, oh, I got to add back pressure. It's just automatic. It's all a coordinated turn. Now you see how you come into a mind? You could transform that mind of a car driver into an airplane driver. You could transform that guy that runs a backhoe over to a skid steer. Or you could transform a child in arithmetic over to a greater form of mathematics or algebra or calculus. But it's a way of thinking differently. So a mind is going to do something, isn't it? What does minds do? They think. Have you ever wished that you could turn your thinking off? I know that, you know, you think, I don't know if I would want to do that or not. Hey, there's times you might be tired and wore out. You know, what if I had a choice to turn it off? Hey, Lord, you're thinking here in this head of mine, and it's causing me problems. It's making me weary. It's wearing me out. This is almost more than I could bear. You see, can we just turn him off? People do it all the time by not yielding, not submitting, not listening. How long will he talk to you when you're not hearing? How long will you talk to somebody? Let me ask you that. How long will you talk to somebody when you perceive they're not listening to you? Probably not long. Boy, he's more patient, more gentle, and more kind, isn't he? When I think about how many times he spoke to you and spoke to me, and we didn't take heed or we didn't hear, we didn't listen, and he was still merciful enough and kind enough to continue on speaking, continue on asking us, continue on talking to us, continue on. I'll tell you, God's a merciful God. Because I know that you, nor I, and you say, well, he's God. But we're asked to be in the same mind that he's in, aren't we? Is that correct? Are we asked to be in the same mind that he's in? So if we see this attribute of him of long-suffering, we see an attribute of patience and gentleness and kindness in him, and we see these things in him, is this what we're supposed to be doing? How patient are you? Ask yourself, are you as patient with people as he is with you? If you could see that he's more patient with people than you are with people, then you're not in his mind. Would that be correct? I'm not trying to make things complicated here, brother. I'm just talking about we have to analyze and compare. What is making us think? Again, when you're driving your car, you say, hey, I'm right here at an intersection. I want to turn. What do? You grab the steering wheel. Is this correct? I mean, this isn't no great things. We teach this to little children. They drive little go-karts around. They drive little toys and different things around. So what happens? You turn the wheel. So now you take that same guy in that same mind. You stick him in an airplane. He's taxiing down a runway. He doesn't even touch the wheel. He pushes the pedal with his foot and he turns around and goes around the corner. Different way of mind, different way of thinking. Say, well, Brother Rob, I think you've expressed that well. But you see, that person has to learn to transform the way he's thinking to make that thing operate. But we're talking about the mind is what's operating you. So now we're talking about getting away from equipment, getting away from airplanes, getting away from cars, but we're talking about you. There is a mind that makes you operate. How many of you say when you're walking down the aisle, you say, okay, right foot forward, okay, left foot forward, right foot forward, left foot forward, right foot forward, left foot forward, and you say, okay, now I'm walking. See, you probably don't remember the time that your mind used to have to think that way. You were too young. But there was a time that there was a conscious effort of way thinking, like, you know, when a kid's crawling, he said, hey, I got this down. You know, I'm crawling across the floor. Look at this, man. I pull this knee and that knee and I keep going. But then one day they say, wait a minute, I could stand up and do this. So there was a transformation of that child's mind from crawling into walking. Trying to make some simplistic statements here and thoughts for we could start thinking in another mind. See, God's mind, the mind of Christ, is totally different than what your mind is. It thinks differently than you think. There's things that lay within that mind that are hard for men to perceive and understand. If we went to the next verse there, it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Okay, so I find an exhortation here, if we want to use this terminology, that's expressing to me as a reader of this Bible and a word, and it's telling me something. It said, let this mind, okay, what mind is this mind? It's the mind of God. It's the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said, let this mind be in you. We're being commanded here in this Bible to put this mind in. Now we got to again remember that minds do things, and what do? They think, right? Now, if I've already thanked something, then what was it? It was a thought. Is that correct? I know this might sound a little bit crazy, but if I've already been thinking about something and I've already thanked it, it's a thought. And they get us in big trouble, don't they? Has your way of thought or thinking got you in trouble? The Bible talks about the minister being able to perceive even the thoughts. Do you understand that? Perceive the thoughts. You know, a lot of times, you know, we think, what is that, reading minds? Well, in many cases, it can be the Lord, by through discernment, it could pick up a thought and different kind of things. But many times, brothers, you know, the thing is you know what a man is thinking by what he's doing. You know what his thoughts are because you're watching what he's doing. You say, oh, you're taking away discernment. No, I'm not taking away discernment, because the discernment of the Spirit is going to manifest and it's going to be seen in whatever you're doing. If you're driving a car, I can tell you what you're thinking when you turn the corner to go to the right. Is that correct? Hey, this guy was thinking about going to the right. When I see the brake lights come on, he goes, hey, that guy up in front of me is thinking about stopping that car. Is that true? But you see, there's ways to perceive. Okay, so now we come up with this great mystery this morning of this great revelation that thinking and thoughts are one and the same thing, maybe with a past tense to it. And this is what a mind does. A mind thinks. Okay, boy, what an awesome revelation, huh? But sometimes we miss out on some of these things. If we can get all the way back to the elementary of it, then maybe we can make some adjustments where we failed. Because a mind is thinking. Okay, so now let's talk about this for a minute. We're asked to have a mind in us that thinks. And it's asking us to put a mind in us that is the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so now we're going to have a mind that's thinking. That's not our mind, but it's His mind. Okay, well, you're with me so far, right? Now, what is this mind thinking about? Right here it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So now I'm telling to have this mind in me. Now, what was this mind thinking? It thought right here that it's not robbery to be equal with God. So here I am as a preacher saying, hey, y'all could come into this mind that you could make yourself equal with God. Now see, that scares a lot of people away right there. Damn, man, there's no way. There ain't a chance I could be equal with God. Do you realize what God is? I mean, He spoke all these things into an existence. You know, He spoke life into an existence. He done this, He done that. But then yet I can take you to another passage of Scripture that says that we'll even do greater things than what He did. Talking about the one that came in this image, in that form. He said we could do greater things. Now you're saying coming to equal with God, and now you're talking about doing greater things than God did when he walked among men. Now see, people have a problem with that. I know they have a problem with that. They say, I just can't see that. And the reason they can't see it, because they're not learned to think in that mind. And they have not allowed that mind to establish their thinking in the way they could think, and then they could be utilized of God to do the work of God. You see, if I pull one out of hell, if I pull one out of the grips of Satan, and Satan's got their claws in them. You see, I'm talking about a mind that's not seen in the world that you're seeing in. You see in a mind, your mind that you're born in, it has eyesight. Do you understand that? And it sees things that are tangible. It sees things that are natural. It sees things that you could touch. It drinks of things that you could see and feel the sensation of going down your throat. It eats of things that you have texture that you could taste. But there's another mind, the mind of God, that tells you to drink blood of the Lord and eat his flesh. And you're thinking, whoa. You know, man, I'm not some kind of cannibal. Now see, now you're thinking in a natural mind again, and you're thinking in a tangible mind, in the carnal mind, and you're thinking that this guy wants me to drink his blood and eat of his flesh. But you see, there's another way of thinking in that mind altogether. I mean, even some of his disciples that walked with him had a real problem with that. Because they were thinking, analyzing this statement in another mind. You understand that? The guy taxiing the airplane says, hey, there's the intersection. I'm supposed to go right to the gas pumps. And he turns the wheel. It don't do no good. He's thinking in the wrong mind. So he pushes the pedal and it goes to the right. He pushes on the pedal, think I need gas. It don't work. It turns. There's another thing you got your hand on here. It's got gas. You see, it's thinking in another mind. Now, I know that sounds so elementary, but I'm telling you this, that you, in the way you think as a man, and you're going through life and you're doing all of the things motivated through the thoughts of humanity and mankind, and you've let that mind, the mind of man, be your God. And you've robbed yourself of coming to be joint heirs or equal with God. So we got to learn to think differently. You got to learn to think totally different than what you do as a man. When you start thinking in the mind of God, people are going to think that you are a devil. Are you listening to me? They said that to Jesus. They called him a devil. I'll just give you a little remembrance of the scripture. Okay, here's the man walking amongst them that raised dead. Took a man that his hand was withered up. Have you ever seen pictures or the results of what leprosy does to people? I mean, it starts consuming their fingers. And their fingers will start being just eaten off of their hands. Consuming. And then when the fingers are gone, then the hands go. And then you find just a nub, a wrist, and it'll consume you. It'll start taking your ears off, nose off, and just starts consuming you. But Jesus goes up to a man that's withering away and brings him to heal and whole. Takes another one that's dead and raises them, makes them walk and be alive. Is this right? Amen. I mean, this is what the Bible has done. You say, man, we could be equal with that? Oh, sure. And greater things. So we're trying to perceive and understand minds and the way minds think. Now, when you see these kind of things, usually the way you think, I'll just help you remind you of where you think. Oh, my, I don't feel good. Call a doctor. Oh my, I'm not doing too good. Give me an aspirin. Give me this. Give me something. Give me drugs. Give me anything. Oh, I'm a little bit down. I'm a little bit depressed, man. Give me a quart of liquor. Give me something. There's nothing wrong with herbs and there's nothing wrong with medicines. Don't misunderstand me. But there's a mind to those things also. And they try to overpower God with those medicines and with those minds of those things. Speaking of minds now, let's establish different minds in your head for a moment. Now, I brought some things out as examples this morning. A pilot thinks different than a backhoe operator. A mechanic thinks different. You think like this when you think of mechanics, a whatchamacallit and a thingamajig. Where a man that's a mechanic like Brother Randy, when he's got those things, he might be saying, you know, this is a smog pump. This here is a head. You know, this is a carburetor. This is a fuel injection or whatever. But he thinks different. So we've establishing, yes, that there are different ways and different kinds of things that we think. I can take you over to some scriptures in Matthew 16. Let me just read it here. It says, but he turned and said unto Peter, said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to one of the apostles, correct? So he's talking to a dear friend of his. Do you realize that Peter probably got closer to Jesus than probably any of the 12? I know we could talk about John and, you know, they got really close to the Lord. But Peter, I mean, read about it. Man, he was there with him at the Mount of Transfiguration. Were any of the other 12 there? No, but Peter was. When he was being crucified, who was right there when they were taking him in? Yes, I know he failed and this and that. Who got out and walked on the water? Peter. Who pulled the sword out and took the ear off of a man because he'd had the love for the Lord? It was Peter. He was right there. But then yet we find our God, our Lord, our Savior, our salvation. We find God speaking to Peter and he said, "Get ye behind me, Satan." So now you're going to say that one of the men that was as closest or closer than any other man to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he turned to him and he called him the devil. He called him Satan. Let's read it again. But he turned and said unto Peter, this is in Matthew 16:23. He says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things of God, but those that be of men." And he found himself being rebuked. Do you want me to tell you why he was being rebuked? Because he was thinking, he was entertaining thoughts, he was thinking like a man. "Hey, Lord, I'm not going to let this happen to you." You see, the Lord had just got done telling him that he was going to be taken and put to death and be crucified. This is what the Lord told him. You know, I've said this numerous times to you, that if Brother Rob was there with the Lord Jesus, this is what Jesus would have said to Brother Rob. "Get ye behind me, Satan. You're safest than the things that be of the flesh, the things that be of men. Because I know how I love God now. I know how I feel towards Him now. And if I would have been walking there with Him, and I know your testimony's not that way. Oh, he never would have said that to me because I would have known and I would have been in that mind and I would have understood. But all men's hearts are fashioned alike." So we find a mind here. So this mind of him saying, "I'm not going to let this happen to my friend. I'm not going to let this happen." Now this mind perceived who he was. Because if you back up just a little bit previous to that scripture that I just read, 8 verses previous to this, 8 verses back, "Who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ." He said, this wasn't revealed to you by man. So where would this revealing come from? Come from the Father. Well, how does the Father reveal things to us? Through his thought, through his mind, through his thinking. So how do you think? Now here's Peter getting rebuked for thinking like a man. "Well, I'm not going to let you die. I'm not going to let this happen to you. I love you too much for that. I'm not going to let them take and beat you. I'm not going to let them take and kill you." And the Lord said, "Get you behind me, Satan." You see, the compassion and love that this man had for another man, he found that thing getting in the way of God. Do you see that? What am I saying this morning? God's ways aren't your ways. God's mind is not your mind. See, he thought it was good for all of humanity. He thought it was good for this whole world that he come to the place of Calvary, a place to be beaten, a place to be rend. And the Bible said that they beat him so bad, he was marred so terribly bad that you couldn't even recognize him. How many times have you seen people beat that bad, brethren? That they're beyond recognition. I mean, that's a pretty brutal beating. When you think of the cat of nine tails and whipped him, people think, well, he took 39 stripes. You know, when you think of a whip and they bring it across the back and puts a scar across the back and makes the blood run. No, it's much more severe than that. They said a cat of nine tails. What does that mean? The cat of nine tails was these things that was laced with lead and glass. And when they would take and whip you with it, it would wrap around your body with the leather and the glass and the lead and these different things. And it would wrap around, and when they would rip it back, it would just pull flesh off. You know, so you could start getting a little bit of a picture that maybe how he was marred beyond recognition. And this was the mind of God that took him to that place. I know your Catholics have the picture of Jesus on the cross, and I know I've said this numerous times. But they got a picture of Jesus on the cross, a little drop of blood running down. Little thorns set up on his head, real delicately looking. They got him nailed up to a cross, a little blood dripping down from his hands. They got a nail going through his feet, you know, there, and a little loincloth on him. A little slit in his side with a couple little drops of blood dripping out. What an abomination. You know, it's sad that they would show him. If they would show him in the reality of what he looked like on that cross, you couldn't even bear to look at it. It would be such a terrible sight. As I've expressed to you, when they took those thorns that made a crown of thorns, I've been over there and looked at the thorn trees. And they're sharp. And they're about probably 1.5 inches, some of them maybe 2 inches long. And I'm sure that they just set it on his head. I guarantee you they rammed it over his head. They had the hatred and all of the bitterness of all mankind with the hate. And they pulled that thing down over his head. And I'll promise you it tore hunks of meat and flesh all the way down to his skull. and the blood was running and flowing from his head. It wasn't a pretty sight. Beyond recognition, covered with blood. That's the mind of God. And we want to have this mind. You know, when you come into the mind of God, brothers and sisters, you don't think like a man savoring the things that would be for your good, for your flesh, for your enjoyment, for your world, for your life, because you realize that it's all tainted with satanic influences and satanic things that will get a hold of you and destroy you and kill you. So you think in a different mind. You think differently. You don't operate in that realm. Boy, isn't it nice just to have these little Christian messages, you know, well, we just ask Jesus in our heart and we're saved. Oh, I ask Him in my heart and I'm saved now. I said a prayer, I'm saved. Oh, I read the scriptures in Romans, you know, we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. If you knew how to believe in your heart, you might get saved. That's the problem. Man doesn't know how to believe in his heart. That's why the Bible says line upon line and precept upon precept. Because man doesn't know how to think in his heart to be saved. This is why the humanity is lost right now. This is why it's a small flock. This is why there's such a few numbers in Christianity in this day. Oh, that would be disputed from so many. Oh yeah, I go to a church with 20,000. I go to a church over here. It's got this and I got that. Well, praise God. I pray and hope that there's some elect intermingled in there. Some people that have the mind of God. Because without this mind, you're none of His. A woman that's in her own mind and doesn't come into the mind with her husband, she's not his wife. Do you realize that? Oh, but they're married. They went through the formalities. They got the name. They took on his name. They did this. There's a lot of people who have taken on the name of the Lord Jesus, but they're none of his. All these things fit together. They're allegories. They're understandings of a mind. I'm going to go back to something very simple. If you were a heavy equipment operator and you needed a man, I need a backhoe man. The guy says, hey, I'm him. Man, I've ran him for years. Okay. You're going to be able to watch him for 1 minute when he gets on there. And you're going to see if he's got the mind of that piece of equipment. You're going to know right quick. You understand that? And the same thing when you come into the mind of God. It's going to be something that shows up. You understand? There's a lot of minds that we understand. You know, if I said, hey, is anybody hungry? Oh yeah, man, I'll tell you, I haven't eaten since yesterday, man, you know. So you understand what that mind is. It's everything that you do is motivated from a thought and from a mind. But the Bible's teaching us here that we've got to transform our mind. We got to change the way we think. So we find, because of the way Peter was thinking, that he got in trouble with the Lord. He said, get you behind me, Satan. Get you behind me, Satan. Talking to Peter, because he allowed the mind of Satan in him. Is this right? He allowed, we could say, a carnal mind. Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death. Okay, so we're talking about a mind, right? Carnal mind, natural mind, man's mind, natural things, savoring the natural things, savoring this world, love of this world, the things of this world, the enjoyments of this world. That's all carnal. Everything touched, everything seen is tangible. It's carnal. Now we're spiritual, okay? We're supposed to be in a spiritual mind, but we do come to a revelation. We got to have carnal things. I've got to eat. Oh, if you're so spiritual, Brother Rob, why don't you not eat? If you're so spiritual, Brother Rob, why don't you just do away with this and do away with that? There are things. Paul said that I sow in you spiritual things. Wouldn't it be proper that I would reap from you carnal things? Things to sustain life? Yes, we need to be clothed. Yes, we need homes and housing. Yes, we need to pay light bills. Yes, I understand these things. But we could operate in a spiritual mind and receive the things necessary to sustain life in this natural physical body, that we could allow the spirit life and the spirit mind to operate in this, the image, to use this image, the fallen image of humanity and mankind, to use this mind of God, that thought it not robbery to be equal with Him, to operate in this vessel, to go forth and bring others into this way of thinking. So we have to keep an understanding and a balance. If you're so spiritual you don't need to eat, and there's a place attainable, you can come to a place that you would never have to eat ever again of these things of this world, natural things. But you will always be desiring and eating of the hidden manna, the invisible things to this world and to the people of this world. You understand me? I'm trying to keep this simple, folks, for we can understand this is the way you think. He's going to give you the fruit of the way you think. Are you listening to me? You are going to receive the fruit of the way you think. Now, if we switch dimensions, okay? Now, I could come into the dimension of a man, and this is being taught in many churches, the power of the positive mind. There's truth in it. But you know, if you could think, hey, you know what, I could be a backhoe operator. You know that? You may have never been on, but I can be a backhoe operator. I could be one of the best backhoe operators there ever was. I'll tell you what, you just give me a chance. I'll get on that thing and I'll learn it, and I'll be one of the best backhoe operators you ever seen. Oh, pilot, no, I've never flown an airplane, you might say, but let me tell you what, give me the chance. I'll go through things. I could be one of the best pilots. Matter of fact, I think that I could become one of the best aerobatic pilots that ever was. And I'll take the titles and do the things. Hey, I like that kind of thinking. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with a man thinking, you know, that he can and do. Now see, there's a spiritual principle in this. But there's also in the mind of the flesh and the mind of Satan that this thing becomes the enemy of God. Because it tries to go greater than God, but in the wrong mind. You see, the things that are great to God are not great to that mind of man. But the things that are great to the mind of man are the things that are the enemy of God. Do you understand? You see, I get into this one mind and I could make you excel and achieve and be the absolute king of this world. Greater than any other man that ever walked. Richer than any other man that ever walked. With more skills and more abilities and more documentations on your wall. You can have the doctor's degree, the theologian's degree. You can have all of the understanding and all these things. And what's it profit you according to the Bible? Nothing. Paul was a very educated man, very religious man. And all of his studies, all of the times in the synagogues and all that, he came to a revelation. He said, it's all dung. You know why it was dung? Why could you say that learning about God and learning about the scriptures and learning about all that was dung? Because he learned in an intellectual capacity of a man's mind. And we've got to learn to come into another mind. Are you with me? You got to learn to come into another mind. A mind of suffering. Well, I don't want to suffer. Well, then you may as well forget it. If you don't have a mind to suffer, thus saith the Lord. I'm prophesying this to you. Are you listening to me? If you do not have a mind to suffer, you are going to hell. Thus saith the Lord. You are going to hell. Be listening to this. This is very important. If you do not have a mind to suffer, you are going to hell. If you resist suffering, if you run from suffering, and you're looking for fame and popularity and to be liked and to be popular and all those things, that's a manifestation of another mind altogether. Now, we got some attention. Some of you men are just drifting off. I'm trying to keep it simple for a reason. Because some of you have gone beyond the simplistic things and you're trying to fasten things over here and fashion them in another area. And you haven't got the simplistic things in order in the perspective of how we think. And we find ourselves as what we call Christians, as what we call sons of God, as what we call this. And we spend too much of our time thinking in the mere mind of humanity and mankind with all of its pity. You understand that? Romans 8:6 again says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What is peace to you? See, we have a different idea. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. But see, we think of peace. If I said right now, I said, okay, everybody be quiet. And we say, hey, it's kind of peaceful in here, isn't it? You know, it's kind of relaxing, kind of peaceful. You see, now this is your analysis of peace. Quiet, there's nothing really going on, everything's just fine. But then yet, in what you call peace as a natural individual, could be more than chaos and confusion. If I'm up here preaching and all of you started talking to each other, talking back and forth and going on with that, and I say, oh, but this is peaceful. You say, this ain't peace, this is confusing. You see, and that would be in the way we think as men. But you see, when the men were thinking in their mind of man, riding in the boat with the Lord Jesus, you see, it showed the peace that he was in because the Bible records that he was laying in the bottom of the boat asleep. So he's trying to make you understand, you know, when a person doesn't have peace in the spirit, he has trouble sleeping in the natural. Do you realize that? But this brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, was laying in the boat asleep. And all the rest of them were freaking out. Is that okay to say that word? I think it works. It fits, don't it? I don't know if they were freaking out or not. Well, they were fearful for their life. Is there a word such as fearing out? We're going to perish. We're going to die. They're bailing. They got their buckets. They're trying to bail out the boat and everything. So they wake up, the master, frantic, scared. And he said, peace, be still. Amen. And all of a sudden, the elements of this world changed. Do you realize that through the spiritual mind of God, that you have the authority and the power to speak peace in a spiritual perspective, and it'll change the elements, the weather, the storms. So you're going to tell me, Brother Rom, that you could go out here and there could be a tornado coming or a storm and you could speak to that thing and change the course of it? And I say, yay and amen. And that might be a great thing. But let me ask you this. What if I went out there and spoke to it and the tornado went around or the storms went around? But there's some greater peace, even greater than that. That's all natural, because those same people that were in that boat that they've got their life spared right then, they all, through the recording of the scriptures and the word, many of them were killed, some of them in a tragic, terrible way, and different kind of things. So there's something greater than that, isn't there? There's something greater than long life on this earth. There's something greater than all that. You see, brothers, when there's peace in a spirit, and you got this mind of Christ, then it brings peace. You see, it doesn't matter what kind of storm this physical flesh is going through. It doesn't matter when the doctors say, hey guy, it's never a revelation. Y'all have a death sentence. Every single one of you in here, listen to me. I'm speaking to you as a man. Y'all have a death sentence. You know, people go to the doctor. Doctor said I'm going to die. Give me 6 months. What's 6 months? 6 months to you? You're thinking, oh God, there's, you know, that's so sad. 6 months. 6 days. 6 years. What if the doctor come to you and said, hey, you're going to die. You're going to live about 60 years. What if the doctor come to you and said, sir, I'm sorry, maybe you're going to die, but you got 600 years. You think, whoa, 600 years? That's a curse. What if the Lord came to you and said, look, if you would do this, I'll allow you to live to be 600 years old. I say, Lord, I'm not going to sell out for that. Lord, I'm going to give you my life as a living sacrifice and I'll never die. But see, we think too much like men. This is why men get tore out of the frame when they say you got a death sentence. Oh, they gave me 6 months to live. Hey, do something for God with it, man. For you store up some things for eternity. What's 6 months when you compare to eternity? What's 600 years when you compare to eternity? The Bible says that this life, with your promise of 70 years, speaking naturally, what is that? The Bible said it's a vapor. Okay, so go outside on a cold winter day, and you're talking to somebody, and you go, and you see this vapor. You ever seen that before? I'm sure you have. Little vapor comes out. I want you to watch how long that vapor lasts. Not long, is it? It's just there for a moment, and it's gone. It's a mist, yes, and it's just there for a moment, and it's gone. Well, that's your life. How would you like to have the length of life as a flower? What a beautiful thing. This flower opened up. It's so beautiful. Well, that's what the Bible said your life is like. It's like a flower, and it opens up with all of its beauty and things, but then it fadeth away. And then it's not, and it's gone. Well, that's your life. Think about that, young people. When you're young and you got your strength, and you're young and you still got your figure, you know, and you're young and you got all those things, it fade away. You know, some of them little girls, they got everything in the right spot and they know how to wiggle just right and move right. But you know, one day, it all fades away. Oh, you talk so disrespectful. Well, I'm just talking about this natural thing that you look at and esteem to be something great, and it just fades away. It goes away. It perishes. It's gone. You know, the woman could take her body, she could take her smile, she could take her good looks, and she could manipulate her way through this world. What kind of mind are we talking about now? We're talking about the mind of man, the mind that manipulates. What kind of mind made the woman do that? Oh, it was the mind of Satan. Could it have been the devil? Would have Jesus looked at that little girl and said, get ye behind me, Satan, you savor the things that be of the flesh? Sure he would have. We're talking about minds. What motivates you to do what you do? What kind of thinking are you thinking in when you do the things that you do? Who is getting the glory for it? Who's receiving the reward for it? Where's the honor going for it? Where's the praise going for it? You see, something to consider. So I would hope that I've established at least two minds so far this morning. That happens in your head. It happens in the way that you think. A mind of carnality, of death, a mind of natural man. And there's a spirit mind of Christ. It's life and peace. So we got to learn how to know when we're thinking in whichever mind and which way it would be. In Jeremiah it says, hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. So we find here the Lord saying he's going to give them what? The fruit of the way they think. Let me say this for some of you can understand this. There's a lot of things that are grabbed a hold of in natural dimensions that are spiritual revelations. And they teach them. Joel Osteen's one. If I had the opportunity to meet Joel Osteen, I would shake his hand and say, you are one of the greatest inspirational speakers that ever spoke. but he needs to take his title away as a pastor or a preacher. Now, he might get saved, and he might get born again. I'm called to preach God's word. Amen. Joel Osteen, if you put him with Zig Ziglar, and you put him with motivational speakers, he would be one of the greatest. But that's not the mind I'm supposed to be teaching in. Now, I know this is offensive to people, and I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get you to learn to understand how to discern minds. And when we take men and they call themselves preachers and they're strengthening another mind. Now, we can take this thing about the fruit of thoughts. Now, if you can think like a rich man, if you could think like a wealthy man, if you could think like a successful entrepreneur, if you could think like this, this is what you'll become because it's a state of thought. And I say yay and amen when a motivational speaker outside of the gospel, outside of eternity, he's teaching you right. And that's exactly what you should do. There's many people that are down in this world without the tangible things, that they're lacking things. They don't have jobs. They don't have business. They don't have things. And it's simply because of the way they think. They think like a poor pauper. They think like a sluggard. They think like a no good individual. And that's why you see the fruit in their lives, because that's the way they think. So yes, we could talk about things natural and it would be accurate and it could be edifying. It could be godly. Are you understanding me? These things could be exactly that way. We have to discern what are we thinking in and what realm is it moving and what realm is it motivating in. We have to keep things in order. Now, there's things that I could say as a spirit man, and there's things I could say as a fleshly man. Now, the thing is, if I speak by the mind of God and the mind of Christ, your fleshly mind's going to tell me blaspheming. Your fleshly mind's going to tell me that's wrong. But if I would speak in the mind of God or in the mind of man, then you could be relative to that and understand it and perceive it. My calling and obligation is to change the way that you think. Again, we could take the revelational truths of the spiritual realm and apply them in the natural realm and we'll have benefit. And we should. With the mind of Christ, you should be able to think to be successful. You should be able to be the best at whatever you do. If you're a tile man, if you're a carpenter, if you're a painter, if you're a pilot, if you're a bus driver, a truck driver, you should be able in the mind of Christ to excel. Everybody in that trade. You should be one that has a name that is a good name within and without, and people would recognize that. When you are a Christian and you're an employer or an employee and you're working for somebody, that boss, even if he's a heathen, should have a testimony. That man right there is a good worker. That man is an honest man. That man is a just man. That man knows how to work. He is a pleasure to be in my team. He is a pleasure to be on my staff. This is the kind of mind of the spiritual realm of Christianity promotes. They're willing to go to work and suffer a little bit. They're willing to be taken advantage of a little bit. They're willing to go the extra mile for their boss, even when they're not getting compensated for it. And they're doing it without murmuring. They're doing it without complaining. We're talking about the mind of God. We have to apply this mind in all realms. But we got to keep an order to it. We have to understand this mind. So now, for you can understand me, I know that you think I'm speaking so disrespectful. I'm speaking disrespect to Joel Osteen as a spiritual leader, but I'm speaking respectful to him as a motivator and a motivational speaker because he's taken biblical truths and he's applied them over another dimension. Accurate. Preachers should do that, but they got to bring the full message, not part of it. You got to bring it all. You see, Satan tried that in the garden. He brought truth, but he didn't bring all of the truth. We've got to bring all of it. You could take the word of God and you could manipulate it and make people feel good, make them all happy, make them all great. And you think, well, isn't that your job? No, it's not my job. It's my job to equip you to suffer. I'm sorry. I got to teach you to suffer. You think the disciples, did they suffer? Did Jesus, when he walked among men, suffer? Now here's God himself, Emmanuel, God with us. He already owned everything. He had all power and authority, and he could speak anything into existence or out of existence. The people that were taking up the whip to whip him, he could have spoke a word, and thousands of angels would have ushered right out of the heavens, and they would have taken that man, and he never would have even touched him. I'll promise you one thing, they'll never touch him again. They'll never pluck his beard, they'll never spit in his face, they'll never jam thorns over his head, and he'll never have a whip laid to his back again, except for today and now. Because he's the same and we're fulfilling that dimension. Because we've equipped ourselves with the same mind of Jesus Christ that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So what did this bring him? Suffering. Brought him suffering as a man that others could have life, and it's still going on today. And we suffer that others could have life and life more abundantly. You say, well, you're taking away the works of Jesus Christ. No, I am the works of Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? I'm not taking away. I'm bringing them to revelation. I'm bringing them to life. I'm bringing them to I am. I'm bringing them to now. You understand? You could talk about him and who he was and what he did, and you could talk about him coming someday, but I'm telling you, he's here, he's alive, he's well, and he's still suffering afflictions for people of this world that they could see good when good comes and that they could glorify God, which is in heaven. You got to be willing to give your life as a sacrifice. And that Bible says that you haven't done anything great when you give your life as a living sacrifice. You haven't done anything, brother, to esteem you or make you a great individual. The Bible said that's just your reasonable service. It's another mind, brethren. It is a hard transition to make to come into this other mind. The Bible says transform yourself into that mind. I hope you could see this morning the importance of the way you think and what's in your mind. Romans 7:21, it says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Did you hear that? After what man? The inward man. Now I'm talking to you this morning, explaining to you there's more than one mind. And now I'm saying you as a man, that includes female, the women, okay, that there's another man besides you on the scene here. You have an inward man and an outward man. The Bible teaches that. I could go into more scriptures than this. But right here, if he's talking about an inward man, then we're going to say there's an outward man. The Bible talks about the third heaven. So if there's a third heaven, we know that there's a second heaven and a first heaven. Now, I know most of you have just been taught, you know, in the little religious circles, well, you know, heaven. And we think the Bible says he didn't know whether he was in body or in spirit, but he knew he was caught away into the third heaven. Now, if there was somebody caught into the third heaven, you can't have a third of anything. If this was my third glass of water this morning, that means you watched me drink two others right before. Is this correct? I know I'm going to a lot of simple things, but sometimes we let these things slide by us and we don't think on them. There's a first, second, and a third heaven. Okay, there's an inward man. Okay, so the inward man thinks different than the outward man. There's a fleshly man, a spirit man. The spirit man thinks different than the fleshly man thinks. So which one are you thinking? If you think according to the fleshly man, then you die. If you think according to the spiritual man, then you live. These two men are, one is eternal and one is temporal, carnal, natural. So which one do you want to think like? Now you could use the thinking ability of the spiritual man and you could make great strides and dividends of prosperity in this natural world. Is that what it's all about? The Bible said if you gain this whole world and lose your soul, what has it profited you? So we've got to learn to think all the way through. Was Jesus looking for natural prosperity when he walked among men? He already owned everything. He already knew what a street of gold looked like. But yet man will sell their soul for gold, for diamonds, for finance, for gain, for money. I mean, they'll absolutely sell out. But you know, it wouldn't mean that much. If I was trying to enslave your life for gold and the streets out there were paved with it, you'd say, what in the world do I want that for? Gold don't have no value to God. Diamonds don't have no value. When the Bible teaches that the doorknobs are made with diamonds. You know, if you're thinking, I got me a diamond right there, man, they're doorknobs in heaven. You see, it's a different world and a different mind. This is why God's not moved with your prosperity. This is why God's not moved, because it done nothing to him. If you own this whole world, what's it to him? He's thinking, it's nothing. But then yet you'll give your soul and your life to own this whole thing for real estate and in the mind of God. What is it? You see, we got to think outside of this carnal, fleshly world because it's nothing. This thing is nothing. It's just a shadow of it. Brother Troy got him a brand new car, beautiful car. Man, it's nice. But what if he come up and he said, hey, Brother Rob, come out here and look at my car. And I come out and I'm looking at the shadow. Wow, man, that thing is really sleek, ain't it? Wow, man, that thing's really long. And I'm looking at the shadow. People want to slap me. Hey, Rob, look at the car. That's what he would say. Is that right? How come I use such dumb, you know, examples? Because I'm trying to get you to think differently. You would be thinking like, look at the car. You can't tell what color it is. Looking at the shadow, look at it. It's pretty. It's yellow. Hey, you can't see the nice shiny chrome. You can't see the big wheels in the shadow. There's a lot you can't see in the shadow. But he would think, look at the real. So now let's switch over. Why did I say all that? Because this world right here is nothing but a shadow. That's what the Bible tells you. If you can come into that mind, this is a shadow. Why are you so enthused about the shadow? Why are you so sold out for the shadow? Why are you've got your eyes so asphyxiated or whatever, locked into just the shadow? Man, get beyond the shadow. Get beyond the shadows. Go away. When the light goes out, the shadows are gone. Or when the light comes to its fullness, the shadows are gone. Do you understand that? The shadows only operate in this dimension. You understand that? They will be gone. When the light comes and the shadows are eradicated and we're looking at the shadows, and if this is what you've numbered yourself with and become one with and come into the mind of shadows, the mind of natural, the mind of physical, the mind of man, then you fade away with it. But if you come into the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ, the eternal mind of God, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God, equal with God, why can you be equal? How could I be equal with God? Come on, brother. You can't teach people we come equal with God. Try to tell that to the man when he gets a divorce, when his wife gets half of everything. Didn't the judge make her equal with him? Well, yeah, but I worked for this. I earned this. I done that. All she did was marry me. Praise God, you're coming to revelation. All I did was marry. I got married, amen. Jesus is my husband. I'm married unto him because I'm his bride. I'm the bride of Christ. Well, I don't understand that. You're a man. How can you say that you're the bride? I don't understand that. You see, you're thinking in the wrong box. You got the wrong little mush thing in between your ears, thinking in the wrong realm and the wrong dimension. Now, if I stay in your dimension, I say, I'm a woman, and I put my little wrist out like a woman when I walk, you're going to say, boy, you are messed up, guy, and I'm going to say, yay and amen. I'm not a pervert. I'm a man. I'm married to a woman. Okay, I got that dimension all down, taken care of. I'm married under her. Everything's in order. Everything's fine. But we come into thinking in another dimension, another realm. So I become the weaker. The woman being the weaker vessel, I become the weaker. I'm married unto Jesus Christ. I submit to him. I don't make the decisions. He makes the decisions. Amen? And he has me in concern when he makes them. He's not just using me as some servant to be down here and be beat up and spit upon and done. But if that's what he chooses, then I'm willing to go there. Are you willing? You see, we got to differentiate dimensions and find out what we are, where we're at. I know where I'm at. I'm in heaven. Which heaven are you in, the first, second, or third? What if I told you I've occupied all three? Would that be a problem to you? You say, well, how can you be in three different places? Well, how do you have a body, soul, and a spirit? God was, God is, and God is to come. So which one is he? Is my God a God that was? Sure. He always has been. So any time that you look backwards, he was. God is. That means he's today, he's now. He's right now. I'm not waiting for him to come. He's here now. And then yet he is to come because he's fulfilling all three. And we have to do the very same thing. Let me go back to the scripture in Romans again. Romans 7. 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So I've got a mind of good and a mind of evil. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. This whole thing talking about minds and thoughts this morning. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Okay, so now we've done something in this scripture. Again, we've differentiated two minds, two lives, and two laws. Now your body in your first birth is relative to the law. You know, the law says what comes up must come down. That's a law. Is that right? The laws of friction, the laws of gravity, the laws of force, the laws of relativity. There's actions and things that happen within that realm. So we got to realize that. And in that law of the natural and the flesh, it's appointed to death. It is on a course with death, on a course with corruption, on a course with calamity. But then there's another law of the inward spirit that is eternal, that is life, that doesn't die, that cannot die, that never will die. Which one are you? It says, with the mind, I serve the law of God. With the mind. Is your mind loose? Is it rattling around? Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think. Now we're getting some help here how to think like a child of God. How the mind of God thinks. We're finding an exhortation telling us how to think. Are you listening? It said, think on these things. On what things? The things that are honest, the things that are pure, the things that are true, the things that are lovely, whatsoever things of good report. And if there be any virtue. And be any praise, think on these things. So we're being challenged how we think. Romans 12:2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing." If you bring me an old car and you said, "Hey, I want you to renew this car. I'm going to take the old car and I'm going to renew it." Now there's some dimensional things here. The transformation is of a mind to transform the way it thinks. Even Satan transforms his mind into a mind of a minister of light. He transforms his mind, the devil himself. So there's a realm there of one changing. There's one that's never had to change because it was before the world ever was. Perfection, perfect in God and Christ. Romans 12 again, second verse. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So this mind's going to prove something. Are you seeing this? It's not just, "Oh, I got the mind of Christ. Oh, praise God, I got the mind of Christ." You never walked in it, never thought in it. You never manifested it and never worked in it. The mind of Christ is going to bring revelation. The mind of Christ is revelation. The mind of Christ is revealing. The mind of Christ is the mind that takes the other mind and makes it suffer, for you could see that which one is in the realm of control. Which one's running the camp? You understand that? This is an action. The book of Acts is action. It's action of what Jesus taught. It's action of what he showed. It's action. The book of Acts, we could say the books of action of the early church. They learned a mind. They learned how to think. They learned something when Jesus was here discipling them, disciplining them. Jesus disciplined them to think like God. Jesus disciplined them to change the way they think, to get another mind, not to think like man. And when they thought like a man, he rebuked them and reproved them. He said, "Get ye behind me, Satan. You savor the things of this world. You savor the things of this flesh." You don't see the zealots that were around Jesus' time said, "Yes, you're the king. You're the king of all kings." They wanted to make him king right then. But he turned and said, "My kingdom is without observation. You're wanting a tangible kingdom. You're wanting one that you could, you know, that I could sit up here on this throne and that you could look at me and say, 'You're my king and you're the leader.'" But he said, "My kingdom is without observation." What does that mean? You don't see it. When you observe something, you see it. But I see the kingdom. Why? Because I have different eyes. Thank God that you have the mind and the eyes of God that you could see. But if you're thinking like a man or a woman, then you got the mind of the beast, the mind of the devil, the mind that'll put you in hell, the mind of devastation, the mind of corruption, the mind of tangible things. Fine lines here. 2 Corinthians 10:5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." How many thoughts are we bringing into captivity? Every one. Some of us got it down a little bit. We got some thoughts into captivity. But it said to bring every thought. Every thought. Every thought that comes into your head. Now it's telling you that you're casting down vain imaginations. Can somebody tell me what a vain imagination is? We all have them. What's wrong with imagining? Now, I can get into the mind of man and taking some of the biblical principles of positive thinking and say, "Man, if you could just imagine, if you could just imagine that you are this great entrepreneur." Now, don't disrespect what I'm saying here. There's some of you that need to change the way you think and start thinking even like a man. The Bible said that when you cannot even support your own household, you're worse than a non-believer. You're worse than an infidel. And you could say, "Oh, I'm a Christian." No, you're worse than any unbeliever ever was. You're worse than the town drunk. You're worse than the guy on Skid Row. You're worse than any of them. That's what the Bible says. So somewhere we got to be able to think in the way that we could be a provider. Is this right? Yes. So when I go and talking about the mind of Christ, we can't just discount thinking in the realms of necessity, of things that we need. Yes, I could be so spiritual like I don't never have to eat. I can come to a place that I would never have to eat. Moses showed that 80 days up on the mountain, no water, no food. He sustained. If you can do it for 80, you can do it for 80 million. You understand that? There is a dimension that's not relative to the tangible things of the food and all the stuff. But then yet, on the other hand, what I'm doing is showing forth God in the earth in this image. in this darkness. The Bible said light being formed within darkness. What is darkness? It's me in my first birth. It's you in your natural life. It's dark. But the light of God, the inward man, this inner quickening of the Spirit is going to shine out through this darkness. And this mold is going to rend apart and outstep the fullness of God. You understand that? The fullness. All of creation, all of eternity. Why? Because we're joint heirs with Him. Why? Because we have that mind that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Oh, but I can't think that way. That's what I'm trying to teach you to think like this morning. But if you bring it to self-esteem to you as a man, then you're blaspheming against God and you'll find yourself numbered with the devil himself trying to overpower God. You see, you're not esteeming your mind of being equal with God. Your mind will never even find anything in the realms of being nowhere equal with God. It's another mind. It's the mind of Christ. Amen. The mind of Christ is God. So we got some imaginations to cast down. But then yet, on the other hand, the Bible speaks about visions and dreams. Is a vision and a dream an imagination? So which one do I cast down? See, I don't cast all thoughts down. And I don't cast down all imaginations. But I cast down what imaginations? Vain. Now the Bible commands me to preach the word. It commands me to testify the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then yet, on the other hand, it tells me to stay away from controversies. What kind of controversies does it tell me to stay away from? Vain. Vain controversies. Why is one controversy maybe not vain and maybe one is? A vain controversy will never come to a conclusion or resolve. And when I find myself in some, and I see that the end of the matter, that it's a vain controversy, and I just depart out, I don't try to prove that I'm right and they're wrong, I just say, hey, it's okay. Love you, man. God bless you. I know how to do that. I do it on a daily basis. Sometimes I can do it in such a way people don't even realize I did that. But I'm not going to dispute. I'm not going to chide. You know, there's no need to. You know, this way you see it, praise God, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But you better find this mind. When you're working out your own salvation, you better find this mind to be working out with, because your mind will not work it out. Your mind will never work out salvation. There's only one mind that has salvation, is salvation, and that's the mind of Christ. Now, I know that different people have different measures of this. We make allowances for little children, little babies, yes. I remember casting down a thought of the Lord one time. The Lord gave me a thought, and I cast it down because I analyzed it with my way of thinking. His ways are not my ways. And sometimes God will have you do things that would appear to even reproach His word. But He tells you to do it to make sure that He is controlling and has the thing. See, I got to be a steward over finance. And if I take and misuse the finances that God puts in my hands, I can stand accountable to God. I can be cut off. I can be put out. I can go through suffering, afflictions, many things. But then yet, what about if I'm in the mind of God and He tells me to take the finances of God and give it to possibly a whore, a whoremonger, or whatever? What's His purpose of that? And why would He do that? And does He do that? And has He done that? And will He continue to do that? You see, there's a mind that we've got to come to. Because we've always got scriptures for the other side. Do you understand that? We got scriptures for the other side. And we got scriptures for this side. So which one are you in? I got scriptures for throwing the nets out and bringing them in. And I got other scriptures for everything that comes in the net. I throw it back, throw it out. So what's the purpose of this one? What's the purpose of that one? We got to understand it. I got scriptures for planting. I got another scriptures for harvesting. So where are you at? And what is God having you do? You might be long-suffering with one and bringing judgment to another. You might be blessing one and cursing another. The Bible says that the minister has that authority and power to curse. He has the authority and the power to remit sin. So maybe you have problems with that if you're in your indoctrination. I challenge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you hear something come from this sacred desk and I can't show it to you in the Bible, or you can't see it in the Bible or the Word of God, then I'm going to open up the sacred desk for you to come up here in it, and you could say your preacher is a liar and all liars have their part in the lake of fire. What I'm telling you is the Word of God. Amen. I have the authority and the power to curse. You don't like that. Jesus said that He come to curse not. Oh, He did say that, didn't He? Well, then why would He give me the ability and the power to do so if He didn't come to do that? He come in the image of the curse to receive the curse for you and I could have life. And now our obligation is to bring life to people. Do you understand that? We have to take it line upon line and precept upon precept. He gave me the power to remit sin. You say, well, He came to remit sin. Oh, sure He did. He came and shed His blood, every drop of it out of His body, to remit sin. Amen. But He gave me the authority and the power to remit sin in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if I take someone down to baptize them, it's in vain. So you're telling me the water washed their sins away? I never said that. You see, you think like a man. You're not listening in the mind of God. The water doesn't wash away your sin, not whatsoever at all. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed for your sin. But there is an action. Just like when you come up here in these altars and I take this bottle of anointing oil and I take and put it on my finger and I touch you and pray for you and the infirmity goes, you said, "My, I want that oil." The Bible says anoint them with oil. Did the oil heal them? No. You see, we got to learn to think properly, brothers. See, the oil didn't heal them, nor did the water save them. You're telling me the Bible said that you have the power to remit sin. Now, am I doing this as a man? Am I, Rob Coons, have the power to remit sin? I heard you say that yourself. You didn't hear me say that. You say, "I'll get the recording out, and I promise you that I'll tell you that you said that you had the authority and the power to remit sin." And I did say that, but I didn't say that. Well, now you're confusing me. This don't make no sense to me. Well, which one has the authority and the power? If I have an inward man, can he talk sometimes? And can the outward man talk sometimes? When the outward man talks, we hear the Lord speaking back and says, "Shut your mouth, Satan, you savor the things that be of the flesh." Paul said, "I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals." So when I speak to you as unto a spiritual, it's through the inward spirit man speaking forth. And he said, "I got all authority, all power. Amen. I am the resurrection. I am God." You say, "Oh, no. You can't say that you're God. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I'm part of the body of Christ. Can this hand right here say that it's not part of me? If I cut off this hand, yes, I still got life and everything, but I'm maimed. I don't have this hand no more. This hand is part of my body. I'm the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I'm bone of his bone, the Bible says, and flesh of his flesh, I'm part of the many-membered body of God. The Bible said, ye are gods." I know people have troubles transitioning over to some of these things, but I'm just telling you, this is Bible. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. So now we have minds that could be blinded. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Colossians 1 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature." Jesus said he was the firstborn, but he's our brother, and we're sons of God. The Bible said, "Beloved, now ye are the sons of God." Trying to give you a little bit of a foundation to hang on to, for you could start thinking properly. If you're not thinking properly, you will receive, I read that to you, you will receive the fruit of the way you think. You will receive the fruit. And if you think properly, we will see it manifested in your life. If I think like a millionaire, I'll become a millionaire. You say, "I don't believe that." It works, I promise you. If I think like a pilot, I am a pilot. You understand that? Because he thinks different. A doctor thinks different than a carpenter does. But if I can think like a doctor. You see, there's an education that you got to come to think like a doctor or like a pilot or like whatever. So I want to think like God. I have to be educated in doing so. What is my calling, brethren? My calling is to preach the word, to teach the word. What am I teaching you? I'm teaching you to come into the mind of Christ, the mind of God. Jesus came to do that. He discipled them because they thought like men. They savored the things of the world. They savored the things of the flesh. They came before him. They were rebuked. They were reproved. They were exhorted to change the way they were thinking. So when they get their thinking changed, then we see the action of the thoughts in the book of Acts. They started thinking like God. They stood before the same ones that crucified Jesus and said, "This Jesus in whom you crucified, I stand here with the same spirit. I stand here in the same power and the same anointing and the same authority." And he said, "Repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of that one you killed, Jesus Christ." You see, he was thinking different, wasn't he? Because not too many days previous to that, how was he thinking? He said, "I don't know that man. I'm not one of his. I'm not one of his followers and cursed." Isn't that what happened? So what happened? You say, "Oh, I'm starting to see now we've received the Holy Ghost and then we think like the Holy Ghost." Well, there's some truth to that. But you got to transform when that inner man and you've received that inner quickening of the Spirit, you got to transform it into these thoughts that the people could see good when good comes. Because if you're thinking like a man, you walk like a man and you bring reproach to the kingdom of God. But when you think like God and you walk like God, then you bring glory to God and honor to God. Hebrews 5, it says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek." I can take you to the scriptures, and it's speaking of us there too. "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered." I take my time. These things are hard to be uttered, yes. We're talking about the Bible now. I'm reading the Bible to you. I'm not reading some kind of doctrine of men or anything. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. We talked about the blindness of mind a minute ago. For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers. Now you're being exhorted. You ought to be teaching this. You ought to be teachers of this. We can find similar passages over in Corinthians. Paul's saying the same thing. I want to speak to you under the spirituals. Find you still yet carnal. You should be teaching these things by now, he said. For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk. We're not supposed to be needing milk as little babies, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful. See, people say, I just want to stay a little baby. I just want, you know, to understand the simplistic thing. Jesus came and died, and he died for me, shed his blood, and resurrected. That's all I want to know. Well, you're unskillful. That's what the Bible says. You think I'm shedding bad light on the simplistic things of Christ? No, the Bible said, not laying again the foundation of repentance, but it's teaching us to go on into some doctrine. I'm trying to teach you some doctrine this morning. Doctrine saves you and sets you apart. Doctrine sets you apart and makes you walk in Christ and in God. Brethren, we could just play games with God and we could just go through this world and just wait for this old thing to catch up with us and take your life. You're getting older, getting a little more age on you. You know, how many days are you promised here? You got to kill it. You got to die and let him live. You'll find yourself in an Indian death march, man. Just going around and around. You'll stumble here and you'll stumble there. And you'll keep coming back and finding yourself on your face in the same old pothole. Realize where it is and fill it in with the mercies of God. And keep on going and keep on getting it. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age. And even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little, but it does profit. See, I can't come up here and talk about spiritual exercise and do away with bodily exercise. I got to understand bodily exercise, and it does profit, but it doesn't profit as much as spiritual exercise. You understand that? This is just something to help you think. It's a very common passage of scriptures to you. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. I'm in John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Think about his works. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The Lord Jesus works. I could ask probably any of you in here, well, what was the works of Jesus when he walked among men? Well, he raised the dead, healed the sick, opened blinded eyes, made the lame to walk. Just for you could change the way you think and learn to think properly. I went into a men's meeting a few years back, and there was a man there that was offering what he felt like an exhortation to the brethren. And he was speaking to them, and he's saying, you know, where's the miracles, and where's all this? And we've read about this, and we've heard about the Smith's Wiggleworth, and we've heard about the William Branham's, you know, and we've heard the stories of Reverend George Pike, and we've heard about some of these great men of old. You know, we've heard about all this, we heard about that. Where's it at? How come we don't see this happen? And I'm standing there. Or sitting there, and I said, may I say something? Now, some of you may not know this about me, but I was blind, and I was deaf and dumb. Couldn't speak, couldn't hear. You think of Helen Keller, that was me. I couldn't walk, I couldn't see, I couldn't talk. I was the most worthless hunk of fleshly existence that ever showed up on this earth. Was useless for anything and anybody. And one day a man of God laid hands on me and baptized me in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sin. And he prayed that the shucks would come off of my eyes that I could see. And he prayed that my tongue would receive the power of God to learn to speak. And that I could walk and see and speak. I'm testifying of a miracle, brothers. You say, wow, that is something else. That is a great miracle. God's alive, God's well, and God's real. And I'm eternal. I'm living forever. I could see the invisible now. Before I could not see the invisible. Jesus said, my kingdom is without observation. You can't see it, but now I can see it because I have eyes now. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. And I was dull of hearing or deaf and I couldn't hear. But all of a sudden, a man of God with faith, he prayed that the stoppers would come out of my ears. And then I could hear good when good comes. Amen. And all of a sudden, I've started hearing and receiving the word of God. And all of a sudden, because I received the word of God, I started thinking like a God. I started thinking not like a mere man, not thinking like one that's on death row, sentenced to calamity. I started thinking like a God, eternal and heavenly. You understand that? You see, to your natural carnal mind, you wouldn't be able to contain yourself and sit in these chairs if you watched a man expressed in the condition that I said. Somebody rolled him in here in a wheelchair, and you say, this man has never walked, this man has never seen, this man has never heard, this man has never spoke. And man, all of a sudden, if you laid hands on him and that guy jumped up and leaped for joy and shouted, I mean, you'd have every news camera and everything out here through all this world, and they'd be rejoicing. And God is so capable of that, but I'm doing greater things than that. Because that man that was lame, that never seen or never walked and talked, you bring him into this world and he walks in the lasciviousness of this world and walks in sin, that man is going to die and go to hell. But when a man gets his eyes opened up into spiritual things, and when a man transforms his mind into the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a man gets the stoppers out of his ears and starts hearing good when good comes, and when a man transforms his mind and he starts seeing into the glorious liberties of God and seeing the unseen, the Bible says, faith, and we're going to be seeing the invisible and seeing the unseen. That is a miracle. That man that is blind. Brother Andy read the story about the little lady that wrote many of the songs we sing out in the songbooks. She said, I would reject healing to my eyes. The woman was blind, but she had eyesight. You could see the eyesight when she wrote these inspirational songs and things in the songbooks and stuff that we sing. She had eyesight. She saw something. You said she lacked because she can't see. No, she, because of that lack, she exercised another sense, another sight, and she saw things into the kingdom of God, in the glorious liberties of God, testifying and singing about the Lord God. Amen. She had sight. You understand that? Brother George spoke about Chuck. Oh, y'all look down on him. He deals with problems and things just like every other man. But you look and say, oh man, look at this guy. He's bound up in a wheelchair, thus, us, and us. And he said he outdoes more work than six of you. Healthy guys. Does more work than six of you. What was the pastor doing? He was reproving us to come into a mind. You see, we weigh things out the wrong way. We judge things the wrong way. We judge by tangible. We judge by what we see, what we touch, what we hold, what we feel, because we're relative to that dimension. You know, the whole Pentecostal world so eat up with the healings of natural, the healings of eyes, the healing, and these things. Hey, those are for us. Praise God. I should be dead. Doctors have no understanding why one broke my neck, that I still could move my limbs. This guy should be dead. He shouldn't even be breathing, let alone if he does, he should be paralyzed. A quadriplegic at best. They don't have the answers. They very boldly said, we don't have no explanation for this. I have an explanation. I know a physician named God. And he put me into this old hunk of junk together for I could keep preaching the gospel to get people where they could really see and bring them out of death unto life. I am trying to raise the dead this morning. I am trying to get people to think like God this morning and to come to life this morning, because the carnal mind is death. The way you think is death. It'll kill you, destroy you. Think like God.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.